Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
You to do is I want you to try and think not like an adult. I know the children are gone, so this might be harder, but on the bright side, the children are gone, so we can be as silly as we like and they'll never know about it.
Not unless we're telling.
What happens at CCM stays at CCM. No, that is not true. What happens at CCM needs to go out to the world. That's the whole point. There we go. Okay, right. Now, I'm aware that not thinking like a grown-up might not come naturally to some of the people who've been doing grown-up for longer. So I'm going to give you a couple of instructions just to get you warmed up. So, what I want you to do is pull the silliest face you can at me. There are some people struggling with this making silly faces thing. Go on. Go on. Go on. There we go. Okay. Take some work. We'll come back to that. Okay, there is a reason for this madness. Because the verse I am looking at, if Peter will be so kind as to put it up on the screen, is Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So, what I'm mostly going to spend today doing is talking about what little children are like and why adults are not like that. Bible may get mentioned from time to time. The Bible just possibly has some good examples. We'll see. So, what do children do that adults don't? Okay, here's a scenario. There is a knock at the door. You open the door. There is a delivery man with a box. The box has your name and your address on it. It's not your birthday. It's not Christmas. You didn't order it. How do you feel? How do you respond to a man with a box for you? What was that?
Jimmy.
I am.
Why? I want it.
Yeah. I'm very sorry to the people on the podcast because I just dropped the mic. Okay, so we've got gimme, gimme, I want it. We've got suspicious. I'd be suspicious.
I'll admit.
I'd go confused. Yep. If I find a child and go, hey, in this box is a present for you. This is for you. I know you didn't order it. I know you didn't ask for it, but still, there's a present for you. How does the child respond to this?
Gimme, gimme, I want it.
Yeah. Child doesn't care. Child's not going to go, but why? Child's going to go, ooh. Kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is God goes, I want to give all of humanity a present. So I did. And all you have to do to get the kingdom of heaven is go, I would like that present, please. So it's not difficult. It's not complicated. And children get that. Because when you go, hey, kid, I've got a present for you, kid goes, ooh, present. But if you go, hey, adult, I've got a present for you, you go, what's the catch? Yeah. Is there any fine print? What do you want from me?
Yeah, in return.
Yeah, what do you want? You want to give me a present. Okay, what do you want in return for that? And that's where we as grown-ups get really caught up on just the very simple step of getting into heaven. Because all we have to do, the Bible tells us over and over, is accept Jesus. We just have to say, yes, okay. It's just sign, receive it, mine now. That's all heaven you need to do to get into heaven. But we get caught up because the world tells us, what's the line? If it looks too good to be true, it probably is. And because the world's been playing that into our heads for decades, heaven looks really unappealing. Because you go, you're offering me salvation, freedom from sins, eternal life, for free? You're having a laugh, mate. There's got to be a catch somewhere. Where's the fine print? I think that's what Jesus is talking about here when he says, if you don't receive it like a little child, you'll never enter it. Because you need to be like a little child to accept the ridiculousness that is the offer of heaven. The offer of heaven is nonsense. Let's be fair here. The offer of heaven is God goes, you are so worthwhile to me, I'm going to die for you, and I'm going to expect absolutely nothing in return, except that you go, thanks for doing that.
Wow.
That's normal. That is not something that the world thinks is normal. You know who's really good at not thinking normal? Children. You know who likes normal? Grown-ups. Where are we going here? Of course, the problems with the way that grown-ups think continue even after we get into heaven. Because in the same way that children will go be just really trusting and accepting if you offer them a gift, they're really quite good at accepting things, taking them at face value. So God, there's a great verse where Jesus goes, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. I've got it. God will provide. And children are used to that because they don't care about what they were going to eat. That's mum and dad's job. They don't care about what they're going to wear. Mum and dad will sort that. But as grown-ups, we go, what do you mean I don't have to worry about that? But I've got bills to pay. I've got to plan the shop. I've got to do the laundry. There's a whole list of chores that I need to do. What do you mean don't worry about it? God, you can't tell me to just not worry about it then. And God's like, it's three words, don't worry about. Four words. See? Four words, don't worry about it. I've got it. And kids can take that. Because kids are used to going, oh, you'll sort that? Okay, you'll sort that. I'll just enjoy it when it happens. But when we grow up, we lose that trustingness, that willing to just accept that we don't have to do everything in our own strength. We get told, hammered into us, no, we have to be self-sufficient. No, we can only depend on us. And the Bible is just page after page of, you can't do it by yourself, and you don't have to do it by yourself. And we just ignore all of it to go, but I want to do it by myself, and I think I can. And even though time and again the evidence proves that I can't do it by myself, I'm going to ignore all that evidence and try anyway, because that's what I think I'm meant to do. Even if it goes against everything that you say I'm meant to do. Because what do grown-ups want to do? Grown-ups want to go, I know what's going on, I'm in control, I'm in charge. Yes. Does anybody feel like they're in control of their life today? Anyone going to confess? All right. Anyone going to think that they know what's going on in their life today? Anyone? Any takers? Yeah. No. If anyone's out there, you're not admitting it. I don't believe you. But we get caught up in this. We go, this is my plan for today, this is my plan for the week, these things are going to happen, and then we'll get to Monday and be like, wait, what happened to my plan? And all of our plans are fairly pointless, because, well, okay, I'm going to eat today, I'm fairly sure. The food was planned for in the shop that I did last week. That food, the production of that food and its location in the shop, I had no control over. My ability to control anything extends about as far as the checkout at Aldi. I do not have any control, but I have this illusion of control. And this is where the problems come from. Because if I just go, I don't have control and I accept that, God, I'm going to trust you to work it out. Bliss. I'm like a child. I don't have to worry about anything. I just have to go, morning, Dad, what's going on today? And God goes, this is what's going on today. And I'm like, cool, okay. Doesn't that sound nice? Doesn't that sound nice? God, you're in control. You can take this somewhere where you want it to go, because this is complete nonsense, really. 10 minutes and this is where I got to. Huzzah. Okay, so I got through step one of receiving the kingdom of heaven like a child, is actually accepting the kingdom, believing God when he says, it's not difficult to get in, believing God when he says, I will provide for you. Children are trusting. Children accept things easily, even if they don't seem to make sense. We're too caught up on making sense as grown-ups. Okay, step two of having the kingdom is we are told we need to share the kingdom. We've got it. Who thinks the kingdom is a good thing? Kingdom of God, good thing. Hands up, yes. Anyone? Most of you. Okay. Some jury's still out for a few of them. Okay, fine. Most of the people here, kingdom of God's a pretty good thing. Okay, if you've got a good thing and you have enough of it to go around, why would you not give it to the people around you? Who is afraid they're going to run out of the kingdom of God if they try and share it? Any takers on, I don't share the kingdom of God because I'm worried I'm going to lose it if I do? No. Okay. So, we've got the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is a good thing. Have enough of it that we're not going to lose it if we get share it with other people. So why aren't we sharing it? Because we're grown-ups. And grown-ups have to be serious. Grown-ups have to make sense. Grown-ups. We don't want to look silly in front of people now, do we? We don't want to look like a fool. We don't want to look like we don't know what we're doing. And if we go around going, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, and I believe that I don't have to worry about things like bills and clothes and food because God provides, we don't look very sensible, do we? And then people go, well, that's just silly, and I'm not interested. And we're scared of that. Do you know, want to know? Let me tell you about King David. He's a great guy. Started out, I'm going to make 2 points with David. One, on his simple, trusting nature. David feels that, trusts God fully, that God is with him. And so David walks out onto a battlefield without any armor on, in front of someone about twice his height, with full armor and a giant sword, because he trusts God will sort him out. That is what childlike trust looks like. It's going, God, I'm pretty sure you've got this, even if it looks complete nonsense, so let's go for it. Later on, David, slightly more grown up, but still very childlike at heart, strips down to his underwear and goes dancing through the streets. Does that look sensible? Does that look grown up? Has any grown up in here ever stripped to their underwear and gone dancing through Piccadilly? No.
Piccadilly?
Yeah. Right, no, right in the, go to the centre of Manchester and dance through the street praising the Lord at the top of your voice.
Oh, really?
That is what being childlike, that's going, I don't care what other people think of me. This is what I want to do, so I'm going to do it. And if people have an issue with that, that's their problem. That's what children do. Children do the most ridiculous things because they don't care about the consequences, because they don't think about them. They just go, I want to do this, so let's go do it. It will be fun. Like, I'm sure the parents will recognize this. That you go, you're sort of thinking about something and go, hey kids, what would you think about doing this? And the child, your child's response is, when are we doing? Not, oh yes, that sounds good, or how would that work, but, oh, I want to do that, let's do it. God tells us to be like this. God goes, I'm going to give you an instruction. Just get on with it. You don't go, that sounds like a good plan. Let me have a six-month series of committee meetings, and we'll work out the financial backing for it, and then we'll get round to it. That's not what God's after. When God goes, I want you to do this, the response is, ooh, that sounds fun, let's go. That's what childlike faith looks like. It's going, like, this has been quite a challenging sermon to write, because God keeps going, that sentence you just wrote, okay, put it into practice, go, when I was working on this bit, God goes, alright, stop writing this, here are four people I want you to try and find and go and pray for, get out of the house and walk around. Like, oh, I see. I guess I better put on some shoes then. I did not put on shoes, I put on sandals, obviously. So off I went. I wrote down the four things that God told me to look out for, and I went walking for about an hour, just around my area of Gorton. It was very weird, because I'd be walking along and just then be like, and then I just sort of feel this shove going, no, you need to turn that way. Okay, I'm going this way. I didn't have a clue where I was by the end, halfway through, because I was just walking around following where God was pushing me. I met three of the four people that he wanted me to pray for, though. It was a good day. Came back, wrote some more of them. Wasn't happy with any of that either, but I went out and prayed for people, and that was good. And that was just going, all right, God, you want me to do a thing, I'll have a go. I'll just do it. And if people think, if someone thinks I look silly coming up and going, hey, out of the blue, is there anything you want God to do for you today? Oh, what's the worst that can happen? They'll go, that's kind of weird. No, but it's not a big cost. Total stranger. They're never going to see me again. They think I'm weird. What of it? They might go and tell a friend that this happened. Maybe the friend will be like, oh, that's really cool. What did you ask for? And they'll be like, why would I ask something? Well, why would you not? Who knows what happens from that conversation where I go, just ask someone if they want to be prayed for. But that never happens if I don't do it. Childlike. You just go. I've done this sort of thing with kids before, and it's insane. If you get a bunch of kids and you go, okay, we're just going to go out and we're going to find some people to pray for and we're going to offer to pray for them. And then you spend the next half an hour desperately trying to stop children's pouncing on people to pin them down long enough to pray for them. It's like, no, stop. They don't have to be prayed for. They're allowed to say no. Stop. Do you want to be prayed for? Okay, just let them pray for you. This is what children do. Children get so excited about the things they care about. I want you to think for a moment. And then when you think of something that fills the criteria, I want you to just shout it out. What is there in your life that you get so excited about that when someone asks you, you just won't shut up about it? What is there that if someone goes, what did you do this weekend? You go, because this is the thing that I really care about and I had a chance to... What is there that you're that excited about?
My grandchildren.
Your grandchildren, that's a great answer. Go on, just shout it. Sleeping. Love it.
Football.
How are you?
Anything that my kids need and do.
Anything for the kids. What we need to be is it that excited about God to be able to go, what did you, oh, I went to church and it was amazing and this prayer happened and this with the prayer meeting and I'm going to go and it's going to be great and the songs were amazing and I just felt so close to God and the sermon was ridiculous. This guy just made us make poor silly faces at each other and it was so weird, but God was there. That's what we need to be about. We need to be that, who's talked to a kid and accidentally talked about something they care about, and then you're just there for 10 minutes going, okay. You have no idea what they're talking about, but they sure love it. Yeah. Last Sunday, Breakfast Sunday, I was talking to three kids who are rugby obsessed. I'm like, okay, yeah. I don't like rugby, but okay, you sure love it, you talk about it, you explain why you love this thing. I want to be that excited about God. I want to be so excited about God that at any point in a conversation where I think I can talk about God, I go, oh, I was at church and we were talking about this and it was great. I don't want to be held back by going, well, they might think I'm weird if I just start talking about it. Or, it's not cool to just be so stupidly excited that I forget how conversations work. Or, maybe I'll come across as overbearing or pushing if I just talk about this. Get excited, get passionate, stay passionate, talk about what you love, and love God. I thought I'd talk about some more people in the Bible. The Bible is so full of young people that just exemplify this obedience to God, this trusting in God, this willingness to get excited and share and do. There's Esther, who was a young woman and found herself in the highest court of the land, and she went, you know what? My life's at risk, but God wants me to do it, so I'm going to do it, and if I die, I die. But God's worth it. God's that important to me. There's a guy called Josiah who doesn't get talked about a lot, but he was one of the kings of Israel, and he'd ordered some renovations of the temple, and the high priest finds an old scroll and brings it to him, and Josiah has the scroll read to him and goes, "We have got everything wrong for the last 200 years. Quickly, everyone, get out, read this to all the people. We have to get this right. We're going to change everything in this country because that's what God needs us to do." And he reformed Israel for his generation. He was one of the greatest leaders of Israel in God's eyes because he got excited and passionate and had the desperate need to do what God wanted, and he trusted that what he heard from God was right. There's a really short story in the Gospels where Jesus is out preaching and he's been talking for days and all the food's run out. And a little boy comes up with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes and goes, "Can you use these?" Simple trust, simple willingness to serve, fed 5,000 people. This is what children do. They don't go, the child doesn't go, "Well, this is my food and there's barely enough for me." The child goes, "Well, I can probably do with just a little bit of bread, and maybe then some other people can eat and we can all stay here and listen to God longer." Oh, there's so many people. I've got a list. I could just go through it for ages. There's the story of Jesus when he's 12 years old and gets lost from his family, and his family run around panicking, and they find him in the temple. And he's like, "Of course I'm in the temple. Where would you expect me to be? Why would you look for me anywhere other than the house of God?" Because Jesus, even at 12, Jesus was excited about God and wanted to share God and his glory. And sure, he was there teaching the leaders of the Israeli faith about the nature of God because he's God himself and is smart like that. But it's the excitement, it's the willingness to just go, "This needs to be done, so I'll do it." Where are the Christians who are that excited today? They're willing to just go, "This, I want to do this. I think God will be in this if I do it, so I'm just going to do it. I'm going to trust God to make it work or to protect me if it doesn't." I think I've told this story before, but years back I prayed for a couple of young girls who wanted to start a prayer club at their school. This was just at the start, and just in the summer holidays, I was just praying, and then I went away to start year six. A year later, one of them was back and told me that they'd brought 11 of their friends to Christ through the prayer club they'd started at their school in 1 year. Because they were excited and because they wanted to spread the message. Because what they had to do, knew they had to do, was share the gospel. So they did. This was 3 10-year-old girls. This is what we can do if we stop being grown up about things. And stop letting all of the, "Well, I've got to worry about this," and, "Oh, it would be awkward if I did that," and, "I don't want people to judge me for..." Just let it all go. Just go, "God, you know the people I need in my life. You know the people who are going to judge me. Protect me from them. God, you know what you want me to do. Make it clear. Push me. Push me into doing it, because I'm a chicken. I'm going to cower out if I have any opportunity at all to say no." Going back to the Bible, there's Mary, Jesus' mother, who was probably 13 or 14 at the time the angel came to her. And she's like, she's there, angel comes. Angels are scary things in the Bible. Angel shows up, you're like, "Whoa! No. And the angel's like, "You, Mary, are going to carry the Son of God." And she's like, "Okay, let's do this." There's Jonathan, the son of Saul, who, as a young man, took one servant with him and went and assaulted and went and battled against an entire Palestine army. Because he was like, "I'm just going to do this, and if God's with me, he will make it happen." So he went, and God was with him, and he made it happen. And the entire battle changed because he went with 2 people and fought off an entire army. Like, this is what God does when you just go, "Okay, God, use me." okay, God, I'm excited about... Who's excited about... Are any of you excited about God? Look at you, you're all sitting there. Yes, Tim, this is very... No! You're all just sitting there. This isn't the point. The point is not to be sitting there going, yes, this is all very interesting. Yes, I see the... Yes, I can do that sometimes. Stop doing it! Don't just sit there, think about it, go, I want to change. Who wants to be more like what I've been talking about today?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So start doing... Put some silly faces. Say some silly things. Stop letting yourself be held back by what you think society wants. Mm-hmm. Start letting yourself be pulled forward by what God wants. If I gave you a choice of please God or be normal, pick God every time. Pick God every time. Absolutely worth it. Who cares if you're not normal? The people who are going to say, the people who will avoid you because you're normal are the ones who weren't going to be worth anything in the long run anyway. If people can't handle that you're weird, every one of you is weird in one way or another. Guaranteed. I might be one of the weirdest here, but you're all weird. Trust me.
Best quote ever.
Find the people who are like you're weird. And then let God work through it. Be proud that you're a Christian. Be proud that you are the child of God. And be that child. Get excited. Share the gospel. Obey God. Answer his call. Oh, you're a wonderful people. All right, challenge. Turn to each other, pull funny faces. Go on. Go on. Yeah. All right. Now turn to someone near you and say something honest to them. Stop worrying about what people think. Live and let God work through you. The spirit of the living God. Oh, yes. This is what I want. The spirit of the living God lives inside you. The first thing that comes through you should be the spirit. But we hold it back. The Bible says we need to rein our tongue. But too often what we rein it back is the spirit. We go, I could say that thing, but what if I'm wrong? Or what if I sound weird? No. If the spirit is moving you to say something, say it. Because God knows better than you. Don't be going, oh, I'm worried about what that will sound like. Go, all right, God, if you want me to say it, I'll say it, and I'll trust you to handle that. Because if you want me to say this thing... Alan, you are so blessed right now. I don't know why. I just see blessing on you right now.
Wow. Thank you.
And Chrissy. You too.
Wow. Thank you.
I don't know your name. There's such blessing on you at the moment. I can just see it. This is what God does when you go, stop holding, trying to be respectable and normal, and you just go, all right, God, take the reins and you work through this.